Every now and then you'll hear the story of a real-life Cinderella, some common, lowly person who falls in love with and marries someone who seems to be in another orbit. A celebrity, an athlete, a superstar. Even though they come from two different worlds, they end up together in what one hopes will be a fairy tale ending. But could there ever be a greater distance, a greater mismatch for a marriage than the one promised by Isaiah in the first reading today, when he promises to the people of Israel, "As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you." Think about that statement. Your builder, the one who made you, wants to marry you. The God of all the earth, the God who gave you existence out of nothing, now wants to marry you. You know, there are rare stories of a superstar who marries a fan, or a boss who marries an employee, or a king or queen who marries a commoner. Many of them don't turn out well. So when God, the builder, says he wants to marry Israel, whom he built, it doesn't even seem possible, much less advisable. But long before that was said in Isaiah, God already knew what he planned to do. It's no coincidence that the first miracle of Jesus happened at a wedding in the gospel today. Because if someone thought it was impossible for God to marry a human, he eliminated the obstacle by becoming one. In fact, the first marriage in the picture is the marriage between humanity and divinity in the person of Jesus. Again, it's no coincidence that the head waiter takes the wine to the bridegroom to congratulate him on how good it is, even though the bridegroom had nothing to do with it. Jesus is now the bridegroom. Now we truly have God as one of us who came to marry us. So we're left then with the obvious question. Who's the bride? Well, the promise made by Isaiah was that God would marry Israel. So we know who God is in the person of Jesus Christ. But who's this Israel? Well, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is the official teachings of our faith, makes a connection between the 12 tribes of Israel and the apostles, which it calls the 12 seeds of the new Israel. That's why we have 12 pillars in our church here. Eventually, St. Paul will say to the Ephesians that a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife. But then he goes on to say, but I'm not talking about a husband and a wife. I'm talking about the marriage between Christ and the church, between the builder and the new Israel. Now, I realize that there are many couples in our church, in our parish, who are living together without the sacrament of marriage. Maybe even some of you here today, or your parents, or your adult children. God still loves you. He still loves your family. And the reason why, as Catholics, we are obligated to the sacrament of marriage is not because it makes it indestructible or anything like that. It is for this reason right here, to give us a reminder that the first marriage is God marrying us. I think that I misspoke at the beginning when I called it a mismatch. In fact, it is the perfect match, the perfect Cinderella, when one who built us wants us for his own. And when we receive his body and his blood, it's our way of saying those famous wedding words, "I do."